I want to use one phrase for my text this morning. It's a phrase that comes from verse 16 that we read a moment ago from Jeremiah chapter 28. God is talking to a prophet, Hananiah, through another prophet, Jeremiah. And this is the phrase that I want to use for my New Year's sermon today. That phrase where Jeremiah, again, God talking through Jeremiah, said to Hananiah, "This year thou shalt die." This year thou shalt die. Hananiah was a false prophet. He was prophesying peace when war was coming. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet, and the nation of Israel had turned against God, and God sent Jeremiah to warn the nation of Israel that they need to repent and turn back to God, and if they didn't, God was going to send punishment. That punishment was going to come in the form of the nation of Babylon coming in and destroying Israel. And that's eventually what happened because God's people didn't turn back to him. The nation of Babylon was going to come in and destroy, take the nation of Israel captive. They were going to destroy Jerusalem. They were going to destroy the walls. They were going to destroy the temple. But Hananiah, in that same time, Jeremiah was prophesying a judgment and destruction from God. Hananiah was prophesying peace. He said, oh no, peace is going to come to our nation. And if anybody attacks, God's going to give us victory. We won't go down to defeat. God is going to help us, and we're going to defeat any nation that will come against us. And so instead of prophesying the wrath of God on a disobedient people, Hananiah was prophesying the love of God and said, God loves this nation so much that he will never do anything to hurt it or destroy it. He was like a lot of preachers today. A lot of preachers today don't preach the truth. They preach what people want to hear. I read about a church out in California just a couple weeks ago. The pastor, as he does on an annual basis, was passing out a survey to see what people wanted him to preach on the next year. And he would take those surveys in and plan his preaching for the whole year. Don't anybody here expect a survey? It ain't coming. Sorry. I listen to somebody else about what to preach, and that somebody else is God. But the Bible forecasts what's going on today. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And that's what Hananiah was doing. He wasn't preaching the truth. He wasn't preaching the message that God was telling the people through Jeremiah. He was preaching a lie. He was preaching falsehood. He was telling people what they wanted to hear instead of what they needed to hear. And the Lord came to that false prophet and said, "Hey, you are disobedient. You are not foretelling or forecasting or prophesying the truth. And as a result of your disobedience, this year thou shall die." Now we read in verse 17, the Bible says that Hananiah the prophet died the same year. The same year that God said he was going to die, he died in the seventh month. One of the things I don't relish as a pastor is funerals. I love everything else about being a pastor. I love to preach. I love to visit. Patty and I got to go visit with Brother Laurel last night. We enjoyed it immensely. And then Pete and Gail invited us over for a piece of birthday cake, and we got to go over there for a few minutes, and we enjoyed that immensely. I love to visit. I even enjoy going to the hospital. I spent the morning and part of the afternoon with Sandy and Beth and Lynn. Bill was tied up doing something else, but I enjoyed get to visiting with the ladies of the family. I enjoy that. I like to be a help to people. I even enjoy our business meetings. Sometimes I wish people would ask more questions so I could answer the questions, or we'd get into a debate about some things. But we had our business meeting a couple weeks ago, and everybody approved everything. It almost looks like we know what we're doing, that nobody asked any questions. But I enjoy all the things that are associated with being pastor, but the thing I enjoy the least is funerals. I mean, I try to be everything I'm supposed to be at a funeral. I try to be a comfort, and if the person is saved, I remind people that they're with the Lord. They're in a better place. They're in heaven. I try to be an encouragement to the family, but I just don't relish that as much as I do the other responsibilities that I enjoy being a pastor. I don't like it when phone rings and somebody relates to me that somebody in our church or somebody in our associated with our church has passed away. And again, I try to be there, and I try to do what a pastor is supposed to do in those times. But if I had my way, nobody else would ever die. Nobody. I mean, we'd never have another funeral in this church. Some of you would get to be pretty old before the Lord comes back, but that's okay. I'd rather have people 100, 110, 120 than I would to have to conduct your funeral. I mean, again, if I had my wish, if God would give me one wish, it would be that nobody in our church or associated with our church would die. And I pray. I pray for your health. I pray for your strength. But if the Lord tarries, I know that we will have more funerals. I had 6 this year. And again, I did them. I hope I was everything I was supposed to be. And if I wasn't, I hope you love me enough to tell me that, hey, preacher, you're a lousy funeral pastor. You need to improve in this area. I would take that feedback. Don't tell me what to preach, but I would take that feedback. But I don't relish that. But I know if the Lord tarries, there's going to be some more funerals. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible says, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, it is appointed unto men once to die. In the book of Romans, it says, death passed upon all men. And so this morning in our text, that God was coming to this prophet and he says, hey, you're going to have your funeral this year. You're going to pass off the face of the earth this year. You're going to die. Now, tomorrow starts 2018. We hang up the calendar on 2017 today. What's going to happen in 2018? How many funerals are we going to have as a church? Again, if it was up to me, we'd have none. But I can't foretell the future. I can't tell who's going to be here next year at this time and who's not. I know the book of James says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth a little while and then vanisheth away. And there may be some in this room this morning that what God said about Hananiah might be true about you. Not that you've been disobedient, not that you've been rebellious against God, but God's got your mansion ready. The plan for your life is going to end this year, and he's going to take you to heaven. Now again, if you're a Christian, there's not a greater thing than going to heaven. I mean, we look forward to that as Christians, that going to that place that God's prepared for us. But as we look forward to 2018, not knowing what's going to happen, I want to give us some suggestions. If, in fact, 2018 is going to be the year that I die or that you die, there's some things that we ought to do to get ready for that. I have 3 suggestions I want to give you this morning. The first one is, as we approach 2018, not knowing if we're going to make it through the year or not, all of us need to be saved. Now, the vast majority here this morning, let me just ask you, if you're saved this morning, just go ahead and raise your hand and say amen. 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 The vast majority of us here this morning are saved. But if by chance you are here and you're not saved, not knowing what 2018 holds, I encourage you this morning, you need to get saved. You need to ask Jesus to be your Savior. You need to get ready for heaven. Jesus said in John chapter 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Philip asked the question, well, how do we get there? And Jesus answered that question. "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." That's how you get saved. That's how you get ready for the year 2018. You ask Jesus to be your Savior. Now listen, I don't just preach this on the last Sunday of the year. I preach this every Sunday of the year. And if you don't like a church that preaches salvation every week, go someplace else. Because it's not going to change. I mean, sometimes I expound on the verses that tell people that they need and how to be saved. I mean, I quote from the book of Romans and say, look, we're all sinners and we've all come short of the glory of God. And I tell people, it doesn't take many sins to make you a sinner. The Bible says if we break the law in one point, we're guilty of all. And so all I have to do is break one of the Ten Commandments. And there's some Ten Commandments in there that probably all of us have broken. I mean, that one that says, thou shalt not bear false witness, probably every person, and again, some of you I just met this morning, some of you I know that you've broken this commandment, but that's beside the point. Thou shalt not bear false witness. If we lie, that makes us a sinner under the condemnation of sin. The other one that I always use, and you've heard me if you've heard one of my funerals, is honor thy father and thy mother. Obedience to mom and dad is one of the Ten Commandments. That's part of honor. And if we haven't been obedient to mom and dad, and by the way, there is no age limit on that. Huh? Where does it say you have to be obedient until you're 20 or 25 or 30? When my dad got older and he sort of went out of his mind, he asked me to do some things that I wouldn't do. And I said, Dad, I'm sorry, I'm going to be a sinner. I can't obey you in doing this. I want to, but I can't. And if we've disobeyed mom and dad, makes us a sinner. It only takes one sin to make us a sinner. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Sometimes I take that verse on any given Sunday. And I say, it's not physical death, it's spiritual death. It's being separated from God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God told them, the day you eat the fruit, you're going to die. They didn't physically die, but they spiritually died because when they ate the fruit, they were separated from God. That's the penalty of sin. Now, left to our own devices, that's what all of us deserve. Left to ourselves, that's what we deserve, to be separated from God. And there's nothing that we can do to overcome that separation. Not of works, the Bible says. Lest any man should boast. But here's the good news of the Bible. God didn't leave us to our own devices. He didn't leave us on our own. What we could not do for ourselves, God did for us. But God commendeth his love, or proved his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. When I was a wicked sinner, when I wanted nothing to do with God, when I didn't deserve any of God's love and any of God's mercy and any of God's grace, he sent his son, his perfect, sinless, righteous son, to die for me and to die for you and to die for every sinner. And when he hung on the cross, the Bible tells us that God took all of our sins and put them on his son, and he paid the price for every sin. And because he did, God's able to offer to every person a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You take that gift just like you take any other gift, but you just receive it. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so I expound on those scriptures. Sometimes I testify. I tell you, that's what happened to me. I was a teenager. I was shy. When the preacher said, hey, if you want to get saved, walk down the aisle and get saved. I said, I can't get saved because I can't walk down the aisle. It means I'd have to go up in front of all those people. I can't do that. I'd stand during the invitation. My fingernails would be dug into the back of the pew. Sometimes I would weep. I would want to be saved so much, but I couldn't. I was scared to go down front And you've heard my testimony. I was leaving church one night, and the preacher said, "Hey, don't you think it's about time you got saved?" I said, "Yeah, I want to get saved, but I can't. I'm scared." He said, "Come with me." He took me into his office. You've heard it. We knelt down in front of a red vinyl couch on a tile floor. He led me in the sinner's prayer. I asked Jesus to be my Savior. I want to tell you, I've never regretted it. Not one time in my life have I ever regretted asking Jesus to be my Savior. He's been a good God. He's blessed me beyond what I deserve. He's blessed me so much. And I'll tell you, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. Sometimes I try to persuade people. They say, "What do you got to lose? You've lived for the devil this long in your life. What has he done for you? Is your life full? Do you have purpose? Do you have that sense of peace that everything's all right between you and God? Are you ready to go out into eternity? Are you ready to take the chance that the Bible's right?" I said, what if, and I tell people that are on the edge, I said, "What if the Bible's right? I mean, what if there is a place called heaven and hell? What if Jesus is the only chance that you have? What have you got to lose to take him? What's it going to cost you to take him? Salvation doesn't cost you anything. It costs God a lot, but it doesn't cost us a single thing. All we have to do is take it." And the Bible invites us. Jesus says, "Hey, come and try me. Come and see and prove me if I will not be everything that I promise to be unto you. A Savior, a Savior, a Savior." Sometimes I try to get people to get mad at the devil. Said, "You ought to just get mad at the devil. If for no other reason, you ought to get saved just to get back at the devil. He's the one that messed the world up in the first place. He's the one that came and tempted Eve and tempted mankind to fall into sin." And sometimes I used to get so mad at the devil, I just want to kick him and hit him and say, "Get out, get out, get out. Leave us alone." And if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, I don't know what it's going to take. Is it going to take an explanation of the Romans Road? Is it going to take a testimony from people sitting around you and this preacher about what's happened to them? Is it going to take you getting mad at the devil? I don't care what it takes. Before you go into the year 2018, before the midnight comes tonight, if you're not saved, you get ready to meet God. You get saved. Number two. Not only do you need to get saved, you need to live for the eternal. Live for the eternal. So much of our life we give to temporal things. We worry about things that 100 years from now won't make any difference. We worry about money and houses and clothes and what people think of us. 100 years from now, those things won't amount to a hill of beans. You say, is that a Bible term? Yes, it is. You got to study the Greek real deep to see it, but it's a Bible term. It won't matter. The things that we think are important won't matter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says our works are going to be judged and they'll pass through the fire. And those things that are temporal will burn up. That's why Matthew says, "Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what shall ye drink, nor yet your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment?" Jesus used the examples of the fowls of the air and the lilies of the field. The fowls of the air don't plant, they don't reap, and God feeds every one of them. And the lilies of the field, they don't clothe themselves. God clothes them, and he said they're more beautiful than Solomon. And he said, "Just seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things that we worry about, all these things that we put our priorities on, God says, I'll take care of them if you'll just live for me, if you'll just live for the eternal." The time that we spend here, and again, I don't know how long that's going to be for each of us. In the bulletin, I mentioned 70, 80, 90, 100 years, or maybe 80. But 70, 80, 90, 100 years, even if it's 100 years, is a short time compared to eternity. It's a very short time. It's like the time we spend here is one grain of sand compared to all the sand in the world. The time we spend here is like one drop of water compared to all the water in the universe. We're going to spend forever in eternity. You're going to spend forever either in heaven or hell. I mean, it's not going to end. We sing that song, Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years. Last verse, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. We need to live for the eternal. We need to get into this book. We need to let this book be our guide. I challenge you in 2018, you need to read this book through, cover to cover. You need to study it. You need to set your we need to set our priorities from this book. We need to set our values from this book. We need to live for the eternal. And then number three, get saved, live for the eternal. Number three, make things right. Make things right. I talked on the phone this week to somebody in our church. I asked them if I could mention it, and they said, yes, don't mention my name, but if you want to use it for an illustration, you can, and so I am this morning. There's a break in their family. There's been a break in their family for a number of years. I asked the person, what's the break about? And she said, preacher, it's been so long, I don't even remember what it was over. I said, why don't you go get it fixed? She says, I've tried. I said, try again. She said, you don't know my family. I said, well, I don't need to know your family. You just need to go get it fixed. Whatever it takes, you get it fixed. I do not want to go out into eternity with aught against any person or with any person having aught against me. If 2018 is the year that I die, if 2018 is when you're going to see me laid out in a casket and you're going to pass by and pay your respects, I want everybody that passes by that casket and I want everybody that reads about my death to be able to say, he didn't have aught against any man. There was nothing between him and anybody else. And so if you have in your life somebody that you have aught against, whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend, whether it's somebody you work with, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's some other relationship that I haven't mentioned, get it fixed. You say, preacher, you don't know what they did to me. You're right. I don't. And I don't care. What did we do to Jesus? What did we do to Jesus? We beat him. We whipped him. We pulled his beard out. We hung him on a cross. What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It takes two to fight. It only takes one to make up. You be that one. You be that one. Again, when you come by, and I'm laying in a casket, and I don't know that I am or not. I don't know if I want you all looking at me. But if that's what people in my life decide what's going to happen, so I won't decide. I'll be gone. I guess I won't care. But if that's what happens, when you come by, I want you to be able to say that there was nothing between me and the preacher. Nothing between. We had a good relationship. That's the way it ought to be. Look, Jesus said one time in the Bible, he says, if you're coming to the altar to offer your sacrifice, and before you offer it, you remember that you have aught against any man. He says, you go out and get it fixed. You leave your gift at the altar. You go out and get the relationship fixed. Then you come back and you offer your gift. Now, if he said that about us offering a gift at the altar, how do you think he would feel about us going out to eternity and having aught against any man? I don't think he wants his children to do that. And so, if you're here today and you're not saved, as we approach 2018, you need to get saved. You only do that by coming to Jesus Christ. We can help you do that this morning if you'll come during the invitation. You need to live for the eternal. Things of this world are going to pass away. It's not going to make any difference what the world thinks is important 100 years from now. They're going to pass away. They're going to burn up. They'll be gone. And then you need to get things right. You need to get them right. If there's aught between you and any person, get it right. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Again, I pray that in 2018, as a church, we will have to have no funerals, that nobody will die, that when we come to this point next year, we'll all still be here. But Father, I know that that probably won't happen, that we'll have to say some goodbyes this year. And I pray, Father, that as we think about that for ourselves, as we ask ourselves the question, if God told me that in 2018 I was going to die, what in my life needs to be fixed or changed before that happens? Hananiah, it appears, had 7 months. He died in the seventh month of that year. I don't know if I'll have 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. But Father, I pray that I would take heed to what's been said this morning. And everybody in the hearing of my voice would take heed. And if we're not saved, we get saved. If we're living for worldly values, we'd start living for your values. And if there's aught between us and any other person, we'd get it fixed. Father, help us to do that. Again, I pray for this invitation. I pray for those that are here that don't know Christ. I pray they would come and we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. So bless this time of invitation, Father. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.